Hey, everyone. I'm Amy Standen, Ear Hustle's editor.
And I'm Rahsaan New York Thomas, Ear Hustle producer. And do you believe, Amy, they left us alone to kick off the fundraiser?
We better not blow it, Rahsaan. The stakes are high.
We're going to blow it. We just have to find new jobs, I guess. This is the second Ear Hustle fundraiser I've been here for, and I never knew how much the show relies on listener support.
It really, really does. From now through the end of this season in June, our goal is to reach 1,000 donors.
So, Amy, for folks who donate, should we tell them where that money goes?
Sure. These donations help fund our ongoing work, but also things like getting us into prisons where we've never been before. Like if you enjoyed our episode about the hospice program at CMF, or the ones we've done with the women we've been meeting at the world's largest women's prison, CCWF. And there's also some really cool behind-the-scenes stuff, like developing an Ear Hustle curriculum for high school teachers.
Listener donations support all of that. Plus, this year, supporters will be invited to join us for a virtual party on June 13th, and they get a playlist of songs picked by the team.
And everyone who donates $10 a month or more will get access to Ear Hustle Plus, which is our new subscription service with ad-free episodes and bonus content.
Find out more and donate at earhustlesq.com.
Listener support means so much to us. Thank you. Should we give the mic back to Nigel Nerland now?
Not yet. We just got it.
This episode of Ear Hustle is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello, Ear Hustle World. This is retired Lieutenant Sam Robinson, the former public information officer at San Quentin State Prison. And I have the honor on this 100th episode. Who would have thought several years ago we'd get to 100? Who would have thought we would have done a podcast if you'd asked me? But here I am. Nigel and Erlon, thank you for giving me this honor to do this listener alert today. Here we go. The following episode of Ear Hustle contains language that may not be suitable for all listeners. Discretion is advised.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome, Latham B. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our big family. And then it goes on to Welcome, 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 Latham B. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our family. We don't do drugs. We don't drink. We don't pee in the shower. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome, Latham B.
Nigel. Can you believe that this is our 100th episode?
Amazing, right? As I like to say, it's a C-note.
100, my friend. Started when I was inside, now I'm outside.
Yep. Aren't you so glad we're on this adventure together?
Hell yeah, I'm glad we're on this adventure together. It's been an enjoyable, enjoyable journey. I'm Erlon Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor, and this is Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Boom, 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 boom.
So, to celebrate our 100th, we are revisiting our very first episode, Sully's. Remember that one, Erlon?
Yes, I do.
Erlon, this is our first episode, so it's probably a good time to tell everybody what ear hustling means.
Ear hustling is prison slang for eavesdropping, listening in to something that may not be your business, and today we're going to hear about cellies.
It's a big deal in prison who your cellmate is, isn't it?
Huge. Nigel, we sound good.
You think so?
I think we was on point, you know, listening to that.
All right.
So yes, we are revisiting that episode, but this time with a twist. It's the women's prison edition.
All the stories in this 100th episode come from the California Institution for Women.
And that means we're not talking about cellies anymore. We're going to have to change that language up just a bit.
Why do you think women are bunkies and men are cellies?
I think it's just the culture. When men write us, they usually say cellie, we're just saying roommate or bunkie.
Yeah. Just when you hear the word cellie, what does it make you think about?
Men's prison. Absolutely.
Before we go further, do you call someone your cellie or bunkie or roommate?
I call them my bunkie.
Bunkie, okay.
So
bunkie.
Here, I think it tends to be bunkie.
Mm-hmm.
We refer to each other as bunkies.
Bunkies. We should call this episode bunkies.
That's what I was just gonna say.
Yeah, bunkies.
So listeners probably know that the California Institution for Women,
or CIW as it's called.
Yep, CIW is the women's prison near L.A. where we've been spending a lot of time lately.
Nice to meet y'all. Hey, nice to meet you. Nice
they starting to get to know us, huh?
Yeah, I like all y'all podcasts, all my little friends. They're like, listen to me.
We're still kind of learning the ropes, but it is getting easier to find people who want to sit down and talk with us.
Oh, good. Nice to hear the podcast. Oh, yeah.
So on a recent visit, we spent a couple of days talking to people at CIW about bunkies. And it gave us a chance to revisit a debate that's as old as Ear Hustle itself.
All right, Earlon, you know me well enough to know I'm never going to let this go, right? Okay, this is an ongoing conversation, Earlon.
Ongoing debate.
Debate. Okay, I think that trying to find a bunkie or a cellie is comparable to dating without the sex part, because you're trying to find someone you're compatible with. He hates when I say that. What do you think?
I actually agree.
I think that long pause in there is you doing a little victory dance, Nigel.
Really? Is that what you think? I suppose it's possible.
Not so fast, though.
I actually think of more of like a job. Like you're interviewing, you have a certain set of criteria that you're looking for. Yeah. It starts off as sort of a professional relationship and then develops into a friendship, if that works out in the long term.
Thanks for denouncing that.
I said it's like dating. We'll never agree on this.
We'll never agree on this one.
Do you think that trying to find someone to live with is a little bit like dating?
Why not?
It's gonna get weird.
Yes.
Okay. No, because there are some roommates that do date,
yes.
And I think no.
Hey, I'm appreciating the answers.
Right.
I'm still gonna say it's like
dating. Of it.
It's still like dating.
It's not like dating.
Yeah, it's not. Some roommates don't even share food and stuff. You just share the space. Yeah.
This one, Nigel.
My name's Stephanie. I've been incarcerated since June of 2009.
Hi, my name is Amy. I've been here in this institution for about 8 years.
When Amy first arrived at the California Institution for Women, Stephanie was one of the first people she met.
Somebody told me, you look like you want to be in a good program. I said, well, yes, because I want to go home, you know? So I said, why don't you talk to that one? And they just pointed to her. So I went up to her and I said, hey, I'm new here. And she was very welcoming. She just came from shopping and she had ice cream and I didn't have a spoon with me. And she used that lid to scoop up some ice cream and gave it to me so that I could have some.
Wow.
Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. And we've been friends ever since.
What was it about her that made you think this is somebody I want to be friends with?
I think it must have just been her aura, that she was nice smile, friendly.
How many arguments?
Zero.
Zero?
No, we don't argue. Of course, we're not in the same room.
Yep. Amy and Stephanie aren't bunkies, which is kind of surprising.
Yes. Just because you get along with someone doesn't mean you're compatible to live together.
I don't think she would ever live with me.
I've seen where she lives. It's incredibly organized. Yeah.
And you haven't seen where I live.
Yeah.
I will never live with her.
Yeah. Can you describe what her
cell
looks
like? Please don't.
I don't want to lose the friendship.
I'm basically a clean slob, and I claim it.
You're proud.
I am proud that I'm a clean slob, and it works to my advantage. That's all I'm going to say.
I feel like you'd be such interesting roommates if you did actually live together.
No.
No, it couldn't happen.
Mm-mm.
They're preserving their friendship.
So Amy and Stephanie aren't bunkies, but together they work on a project at the prison that Earlonne, I have to say, is pretty charming.
Yep. They're the welcoming committee.
So what is this welcoming committee?
August of 2019, a female inmate moved in and nobody knew her. And within like 4 days, she committed suicide in the room in our unit. And I just really kind of felt bad that nobody knew who she was. God put it on my heart to start the Unity Committee. It just came to me. Because I keep track of everybody who comes in, the date they moved in, their name. Every time somebody comes into the unit, we welcome them. Then we have a tour committee that gives a tour of the unit, tells them about some of the rules that the officers want to enforce. We have a birthday board. And then after we welcome them, we were giving out gift bags with some snacks, like some candy and little soap, some drink, just something to go back and say, hey, thanks, you know, for being part of our unit.
So I have to break in here and ask you, Earlonne, is this what happens when a new guy shows up at a men's prison?
That they get a welcoming committee?
Yeah, with a little gift bag and cute little things inside of it.
In the men's prison, it's more according to either your race or your gang.
Mm-hmm.
The guys in your race or your gang, they'll pull you in. And it is expected of those cats to bring you some type of care package.
Okay.
You know, which may have toothpaste, deodorant, soap, some food, you know, something like that. So they're trying to hook you up while at the same time observing who you are, you get down.
Oh, are they observing you because they want to figure out your birthday to get it on that birthday board?
Hell no.
Lately, we came up with a little different twist. We have a little song that the girls sing, and don't ask me to sing because I'm a really good
singer.
You
cannot bring that up and not give at least one lyric.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome, Latham B. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our big family. And then it goes on to... Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Earlonne, we know this one. Shall we join?
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Shall we?
Let's do it.
To our family, we don't
welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome, Latham B.
This is Latham B. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
To our big family.
To our community.
Oh, okay. We've got some different words.
I said community.
That's fine.
Yeah. I didn't remix that shit. Damn.
You got to make it your own.
We don't do drugs. We don't drink. We don't pee in the shower. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome, Latham B.
Is peeing in the shower an issue?
There are issues, yes. besides urinating, peeing. Yes.
Yes. It was just an announcement made in our unit last week about please don't do a number two in the shower. I know. I had to say it.
Does that happen?
Apparently so.
Outside of a toddler, who does a deuce in the shower?
Someone that's mentally ill. That's not a normal thing to do. I mean, peeing's okay, but... Ugh.
People are going to be like, what? You pee in the shower? Everybody pee in the shower.
So, since Stephanie's part of the welcoming committee, I thought it'd be interesting to try a little role play. I just arrived. Can you tell me what would happen as you're welcoming me?
I would come to your room, and I'd say, hi, you know, I'm Stephanie.
Nigel Poor.
Okay, Nigel.
Her nickname is Splenda.
Splenda?
Splenda. Okay. So you like to go by Nigel or you like to go by Splenda?
Let's go by Nigel.
Nigel. Okay, yeah. Thank you. And will you be in our unit for a while? Will you be here for a while?
Yeah.
Okay, so
yep.
Would you be interested in telling me your birthday month?
June.
Yeah. Okay, so next year in June, we'll put your name up on the birthday board, and then maybe somebody will see it and then want to give you a little snack. So then I'll write down the day you moved in. So today is the 21st of August. You have any questions right now that I can answer for you?
Could you give me a little preview of some of the do's and don'ts? Because I really, I'm so new. I just don't know anything.
Yes, some of the officers really, how you dress outside your room. Some of them don't even want you just wearing boxers inside the room. And they'll announce it. Hey, when we have count, don't have boxers on. Make sure you're fully dressed, appropriately dressed. Some of them don't even like if you have like a tank top and you go outside with your tank top on that they can see your bra. So it's best to just, you know, be pretty much fully clothed. if you're a golden girl, but you don't look like you're over 60. Is it 50? How old do you have to be? 50? You don't look like you're over.
I'm a golden girl.
So, you're a golden girl. Okay, so then you can wear your muumuu even outside the unit if it's really hot, but you look younger.
Do I have to wear a bra with a muumuu?
Yeah, you probably should, because I think it is a rule that you're supposed to wear your bra, okay. And some unfortunately don't. And if the officers see you and don't want to see all that, they'll let you know, and they could write you up.
Okay.
So we don't want you to have any write-ups.
But what about, like, some of the rules with the other ladies in the unit?
Just make sure you're minding your own business. If you have any issues, do not go to the officer right away. Go to somebody who knows how things are done, or go to the IAC, Inmate Advisory Council. Do not go straight to the officer.
Okay. Could I come to one of you too? I mean, you seem
Can help you. We can help you.
It seems like pretty much the number one rule of bunkies is do not give a CO any reason to come to your room.
You better not bring the police, because everybody got something going on. Mm. Even if it's something as small as an extra pillow, extra mattress.
Yeah, or a piece of clothing that's not strictly prison issue.
Right. The one thing you don't want is somebody's stuff to get taken because of something you did.
So that's a big one. But there's a lot of smaller things, too, that can drive a bunkie nuts.
This is Desiree, and my pet peeve is, because I'm on the lower bunk, it's somebody on the top bunk brushing stuff off the top of their bed that could fall onto my bed.
Hi, my name is Jasmine, and my pet peeve for a bunkie is when they fart. And they just think like, oh, since I'm on the bottom bunk, you know, she can't smell it. And I'd be up there like, death.
Clean up after yourself. You know, I don't want to be picking up your hair. And don't walk in the cell with your shoes on, because I like to keep a clean floor. I hate dirty socks.
It sounds right
dumb,
here.
But, you know, I hate dirty socks.
I like to step off my bed with my shoes on. I don't want to have to, you got to put on your chanclas or your little slippers and all that. I like to step on a clean floor.
My pet peeve is being woken up out of a good sleep. Don't do it. Let me sleep.
One of my personal pet peeves is seeing people cut their nails and they just let them, like, go.
What is the correct protocol when you're living in a small space when you cut your nails?
My roommates, usually they do it over the toilet, like, or in the shower or somewhere where they can be disposed of properly. But in my younger years, I hate to admit this, but I've gotten in fights over it because it's just gross, especially if they go flying.
Do with a clipper, they just go flying.
Want to get in the eye with
your the clipper nail. On the sides. If you hold the clipper on the sides, the nail stays right inside and you can just put it in. I have a bowl that I use as a trash can at the end of my bed.
So wait. Don't tell me I'm this year's old and I'm finding out there's a proper way to use fingernails.
Yeah, so that your nails don't go flying all over other people's beds. That is so gross.
It's also like something I feel like it's a little private. Like, no one wants to see another person cut their nails.
I can deal, because we do everything else in front of each other.
Okay.
But just don't let them land on my bed.
Erlan, I have to say that the cells at CIW are much nicer than the ones at San Quentin.
Oh, no, definitely.
Right?
They're a little bit bigger.
Yep. And they have windows outside.
The prisons that were built, I guess I want to say in that era, had windows that open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like most prisons don't have that at all.
I will tell you this. The first time I saw a cell at San Quentin, I remember it so clear. I almost passed out. I could not believe how horrible it was, how inhumane it was. When I saw the cell at CIW, I was like, okay, I don't want to live here, but I could do it. I could do it.
No, definitely. They're a lot bigger, give you a lot more space, you know? When I seen the cell at San Quentin on the news, I was like, oh, hell no, I can't live in that little ass, tiny ass coffin.
Yeah, and they're dark, too. They're so dark.
Hello, how you doing? All right.
We're walking down the hallway. Oh, the fans are so loud here. We're walking to Jessica's room.
So while we were at CIW, we met a woman named Jessica, okay, who agreed to let us check out the room she shares with her bunkie.
This is it at its finest.
Okay. It's not totally tidy. But
okay, it's pretty tidy.
Jessica's room was well organized, it was clean, and I guess if I were pushed to have to pick a bunkie quickly, and if Jessica would have me, I mean, she seemed like a good candidate.
And she's got like a cute little doily. I don't know what that is, like a cover, light cover, very old fashioned. She's got a lot of books. And she does have a dream catcher above her bed.
And I have my tortillas under here.
What?
I have an obsession with tortillas, yes.
Do you sleep on them?
No, they're just hidden so nobody steals them.
Those are major tortillas. Those are like 18 inches across.
What do you think about the clothespins? How are they used?
So she's using the clothespins, it looks, to hold up some kind of antenna. Oh, she painted them white to match the wall. So she obviously cares about decoration. It's very clean. We do well as bunkies.
Yes.
Even though I'm way older than you, I wouldn't be a pain.
So on the surface, Jessica seemed like she'd be a great bunkie. But I do wonder if it's a good idea to commit so quickly.
Nah, it's not. Because you're only seeing what you're seeing in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody acts great on the first few dates, right?
Wow. You're just feeding me these lines. Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, clearly you want to know a little bit more about this person's history. Like, how many people have they been with in the past? And what happened with those relationships?
Since I've been to CIW, I'm on number 15 for bunkies.
15? Okay. In 4 years?
Yes.
And is it because of you?
Well, I like to think not, but it probably was a little bit of me through the years. Okay, roommate number one. She was really intense, and it was my first prison experience. She kept saying that my sheet was stinky after 2 days, and she wanted to wash it in the trash can for me. So that just made me really uncomfortable. And roommate number two was the chip muncher. She would eat these chips for like an hour every night. Number three, that one accused me of having a stinky locker after I moved in, but then she came back later, like 3 days later, and she had found a piece of cheese, and it was her. Four, that one was actually pretty cool. She would get the Holy Ghost every day. She'd start shrieking like a she-devil, and I was like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. Like, I've never seen this. She paroled. Roommate number five, she's still here. I could tell stories, but I can't. Number six, she was very young. She was the one that blared the rap music all day. She was way too cool for me. Let's see, was seven? That was kind of like an overnight stay. Number eight, she was awesome. Number nine, she was really cool, but I have this like thing. I think it's called like misophonia, where you can't handle like little noises, like smacking when you eat. And so we were on COVID lockdown, and I thought I was gonna go crazy. So I moved. 10, she was nice. She moved out. I guess she didn't like me anymore. Number 11, she would collect these stupid little medicine cups. And so one day I went to flush the toilet, and I was like, this thing is overflowing. It's a Saturday morning, everybody's asleep. Well, next thing I know, our room is full of water, and I am like, what is going on? I was like, all right, I'm getting to the bottom of this. So I just put my hand down there and pulled out this medicine cup. Oh my God, I was so mad. And I spent the next 2 hours squeegeeing water out of our room. What number am I in? Okay, 12. Oh my God. Oh, that's the one that talked on the phone all day. And we were coworkers. That didn't work out. Never move in with coworkers. That is a cardinal rule. 13, she's still here. She was wonderful. And then my temper got the best of me, so I got kicked out of the unit. 14 was here. She is paroled. And she was wonderful. Best bunkie I've ever had.
You've mentioned temper quite. Yes. Okay, what is this temper like? And when did, what makes it flare?
It's pretty explosive, but I'm working on it.
Do you know the root problem of it?
Oh, probably anger.
From?
Just angry at myself.
For?
Getting myself here, you know, like kind of throwing away my life.
Yeah, that anger sometimes probably get, you know, projected towards their cellies, you know what I'm saying? So 15 cellies in 4 years? Yeah, it comes out, definitely.
Another reason why you want to know a little bit about somebody before you commit to living with them.
Okay. I have another question for you. So just imagine that Erlon was a female. We're both female.
Okay. So at this point, we were talking to a woman named Amber, trying to figure out who would be a better bunkie for her, Erlon, you or me?
And we knew that Amber is way into astrology.
What's your sign?
Leo.
He's a Leo.
Ooh.
Okay, no, wait a second. Okay,
I'm running this motherfucker.
I'm either a Cancer or a Gemini. I'm June 21st.
Oh, that's cool. I get along with them.
Okay, so from meeting us and our signs, who do you think would be your better bunkie? Who
you. I'm a Leo's polarity, okay? I keep getting Leos. I have to actually do a clearing session on Leos because I keep attracting them, and I do not get along with Leos. Leos have to make it all about them. They got to be the star of the show. They need all the service, everything. They got to be top of the chain. That's why he got this podcast, okay? It's okay. They usually rise to the top, like Meghan Markle. But let me tell you, I don't care what you got going, I'm going to ignore you.
Nigel?
So they can't stand somebody like that.
It's not going to work.
You made this very clear in our first episode, Cellies.
Let's play a little clip.
So what's your biggest fear about finding a cellie?
I have several fears, but one of them is someone that talks too much, that's always talking. Every time you look around, he's talking through the TV shows, talking when you walk in, talking when you get up in the morning. I hate that shit.
What's your pet peeve?
She talk too fast.
He does not like people who talk a lot.
See, we'll get along, but it'll be like, she'd probably be talking, and I'd be listening to the TV show.
And he'll say, yeah, zone out. And guess what?
And I don't even care if folks do that. You'll hear that yeah every now and again. Yeah. Uh-huh.
You really think you could drown that out with a TV?
You could try, but they'll keep talking, and they'll keep talking. It might get louder and louder.
Oh, that would drive me crazy. We've got more stories about challenging bunkies after the break.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for Ear Hustle comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/earhustle. That's odoo.com/earhustle. Odoo, modern management made simple. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. Hear a feed from episodes across NPR podcasts that center Black voices. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you have a cellie?
Yeah, I did. But she and I didn't talk, so.
This is Gladys. We met her in a previous episode, Earlonne, the one we did about being a senior in prison at CIW.
Yep, I remember Gladys. We met her in the library. Did y'all not talk because of disagreements, or did y'all not talk because
she was young, and yeah, we didn't agree like on anything.
Does it become hostile?
Not for me. But for her, it probably did. Like, she would do stuff, like wait for me to be asleep and start crunching noodles. You know, bang her cup on the bunk above me. Go flush the toilet. You know when you were a kid and you did something wrong? And sometimes you would do it just to aggravate your parents.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm not your mother.
When you're older in prison, do you think that younger people are trying to make you a mother figure or an auntie?
Some of them, yeah. Some of them are. Like, I've had them come and tell me, oh, you know, could you be my... No, I already have family.
And you're very
I don't
clear.
Come to prison to have family, no.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I could be very friendly with you, but we're not family. Family ties are very, very dear to me, and not everybody. Even some of my family is not my family.
There was this one lady, she's gone now. I guess I could talk about her.
This here is Shannon.
So the story she's telling us now is about this one notorious bunkie, someone we actually heard about from several people at CIW, a bunkie named Money.
And she didn't let her roommates come in the room with their shoes on. They were not allowed to use the bathroom in the room or the sink. They had to brush their teeth out in a day room bathroom. If they came in, they had to, again, they had to take off their shoes and be very, very quiet. They couldn't stay in the room. They even had to pay her for the locker. Their assigned locker, yeah. Oh,
could she go to the bathroom in there?
Oh, yeah, it was her room. So she could do whatever she wanted in there.
You know, I had a roommate I didn't used to like, and she was super worried about cleaning, but she made me really, really dislike her.
Here's Amber again. She has a somewhat creative way of getting back at a bad bunkie. And Earlonne, I got to tell you, I actually did this exact thing with a bad roommate one time. And if he's listening, he's going to know now.
You got some dirty secrets coming out here, Nige.
Mm-hmm.
I'd bring sugar sprinkling on the floor, dirt sprinkling on the floor. Like, when people are bullies, I would do little passive-aggressive crap like that.
Did she ever find out you were doing it?
No.
This girl comes knocking at my door and says, "Hi, I'm your new Sully."
This is Denise. She had her own story to tell us about a bad bunkie.
Well, she's a boy aggressive, and I'm a menopausal woman, so this for sure is not going to work out. But I remember one day I came in, and I was all excited. My mom told me off the wall, she's all, "You know, Denise, I was doing some research, and we have a little bit of Jewish blood in us from Damascus or something." I had told my bunkie about that. Anyway, I was cleaning, and when I was cleaning on top of the lockers, I saw swastika signs. She engraved swastika signs up there after I told her that I had some Jewish blood in me.
When you saw those swastikas, what was your first reaction? Were you, like, incredulous?
I was frightened. I was frightened. I mean, is she going to slash me while I'm sleeping? I mean, what's going to go on? I try to be cordial, and, you know, if they have any needs, to help them. But at the same time, throughout all of these years, I think I've only had 3 bunkies that have not stolen from me.
How many cellies do you think you've had in the time you've been inside?
Oh, dear God. I don't know.
Dozens and dozens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what about now?
Do you have right now, I have no bunkie.
Is that the best way to live?
That is absolutely the best way to live.
Everyone wants to be solo.
Hell yeah. But sooner or later, someone will be assigned to that cell.
So we asked Denise, when she gets a new bunkie, how would she welcome them to her room?
Hi, my name is Denise. Here's your locker. I have a hammock underneath the bed to where you can put your shoes.
Ask her, do she have rules on her wall?
Okay, yeah, do you have rules printed on the wall that I should pay attention to?
No, there's just some easy rules. Just pick up after yourself, do what you have to do, go where you have to go, and don't bring the cops in.
Okay.
Simple, Simon.
Any rules about the windows? Like, can they be open or closed?
The windows are open.
Okay.
Windows are open.
Always?
No, not when it gets super cold, then I'll close them.
Open. So we can negotiate?
No, I'm going to be ruler of the windows.
Erlon, that's a big no for me.
She sounded like a sail captain.
Mm, and I know that wouldn't work for either of us.
Hell no.
Can I give a shout out to the Birdman of San Quentin, one of your podcasts?
This story has nothing to do with bunkies, Nigel.
It's a classic non sequitur, right?
So somebody gives me the baby pigeon, and I was like, this is a really big bird for me to take care of, right?
CIW got some fast talkers. This is Krista.
But it's okay, I'm going to take care of it. I named him Pierre, but he was the dumbest bird I ever raised, so I changed his name to Bubba, okay, the poor bird. I had that bird, oh my God, I was hand feeding him. I had his little spot under my bed. He has a little nest under there, and I'd be putting my makeup on. And I'd be like, come on, Bubs, come out. I'm going to get my toes. And he'd be poking at my toes. We put him up on the upper bunk, and I had this little, like, stuffed chicken toy, his finger puppet. And we're like, Bubs, you got to protect the nest. You got to fight. It's home invasion. You got to be able to from the hawks and all the other birds that are attacking. It was so hilarious. But R.I.P. Bubs died. He died of a broken heart without me. I just wanted to give a shout out to the Birdman. I understand the love of a pigeon.
Erlon, I don't think I'd want to bunk with any of these people.
Me either. I understand.
But there was this one woman we kept hearing about, and everyone seemed to agree that she was absolutely the best bunkie.
Yep. They were like, if you have to have one bunkie in here, it's Barbara. Barbara is a golden girl. Before she came to prison, she was a nurse. Can you tell us who you are, how long you've been incarcerated?
I have been incarcerated for 26 years.
And what is your sentence?
My sentence is life without parole.
And your current cellie now?
Barbara's cellie is Amber.
That's my little angel.
What? Amber?
Yep, Amber, who is not a fan of Leo's and talks a lot.
Why are you and Barbara so compatible?
We've known each other 17 years.
Okay.
And we're both really calm. I'm an Aquarius and she is a Taurus. I always ask people when I first meet them, what's their sign? My sign, I'm an Aquarius. I'm a February 18th, right on the Pisces cusp. So I'm very kickback. I'm very mellow. Tauruses are very agreeable, too. The only difference is she's very calm and I have ADHD.
Does she talk a lot?
We talk, but she doesn't talk like I talk. No, I drive
That's
her.
What I was
drive
wondering.
Everybody mad.
Amber talks a lot.
Yeah, it's the ADHD. But hey, I really sit back and think on people's strength. She's going to be a comedian, and I'm going to be the manager. So,
I mean, she's delightful, but she does talk a lot. So what do you do?
She's ADHD.
I know.
I just do the hand, like, quiet, bring the volume down.
And she goes, bring it down, see?
My secret weapon is coffee with a lot of sugar in it. Then I'll give her a honey bun, sugar her off the game, and she crashes.
Oh, you just
lying.
Gave her the game.
No, she knows.
Oh.
She knows.
She's not when a honey bun comes.
But do you do that because you're a nurse?
Probably so.
Because that's the same effect as giving...
Melatonin?
No.
No.
No, giving someone Adderall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very smart.
Yes.
Do you think that you make a good bunkie?
I would not have thought because I'm a solitude-like person, but it works.
Yeah.
It works. You know, in my morning time when I'm just really quiet, when I wake up and refocus in my day, she don't bother me. She's a good girl. Mm-hmm. She really is. It is actually working.
Well, my name's Cherie, and I've been locked up 33 years, and I've been at the California Institution for Women since 2009.
Cherie's bunkie is named Tara.
I've been locked up for 31 years. I've been down since 1994.
So how long have you been bunkies?
12 years.
We met each other at a time when we were both basically rock bottom. I had just transferred from the men's institution. I came from Vacaville. I was the first in California history to be classified from male to female while in custody. When I arrived, it just, trans females weren't as accepted. I couldn't seem to get a start here. It was very difficult, and I felt alone, and I was depressed. I just felt ostracized, so I reacted horribly.
Cherie was sent to ADSEG, which is administrative segregation. That's where she met Tara. They were in separate cells, so they couldn't see each other, but they started talking through the air vents.
Then, when they got out of ADSEG and were sent back to the housing unit, they became bunkies.
Ever since then, our friendship has basically blossomed. I can rely on her, and I trust her, and I know she's always going to be there no matter what. And that matters.
She's got the biggest heart. Anybody in here. She'll act like she doesn't, but she will. At the end of the day, she will get up and help anybody. Even if it's staff that needs help, she will get up and help. She's a good person.
I think we complement each other. You know, there's things that I'm good at and able to do for her, and there's things that she's good at and she's able to do for me.
Like, what are some of those things?
Well, she can cook. You know, me, I'm good with paperwork, so I handle, you know, any 602s or anything that needs to be done in trying to get us up out of here. She makes a mean lasagna.
I can make anything pretty much. And that's my favorite thing to do is cook, clean, all that stuff, laundry.
Why are those your favorite things?
I don't know. I grew up doing that. I grew up doing it for my family.
And so I don't have to worry about it. So it's pretty much on automatic for me, and that makes me happy.
And if you have one pet peeve about her.
Oh, God. I'd have to say, always waiting for me to come home. She will not get down and feed herself. She'll wait hours till I get home and say, can you get me something to eat? Huh?
I mean, I'm programmed. I'm institutionalized. You know?
And there's so much food in the house to eat, you can't get down and cook. It's okay.
Why do it when it's going to be taken care of for me? Pet peeve, she has to have the last word. You can try to put in the last word, but at the end of the day, she is going to have the last word.
You sound like people who have lived together a long time.
Cherie might be getting out soon, and I was really wondering if Tara's worried about it. I mean, she's going to be left alone in there.
What will it be like for one of you if the other leaves first?
Awesome.
Really, you won't be lonely?
Well, I'm still going to be there for her.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be able to do more for her out there than I'm able to do in here. In here, where there's only so much you can do. Your hands are basically tied. But when I get out there, I can fight for her freedom.
And you won't be lonely, though?
Well, you know, I'm going to miss her. You know, it's going to be hard. I'm used to having her there. Mm. And so it's going to take some getting used to.
Yeah. Does it worry either of you?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Well, that's her. Me, I'm worried about it. You know, I don't want to leave her here, and that's a concern of mine. But I know that she's at a point in her life where she's stable enough and sober enough. So I'm confident that when I leave her, it's only a matter of time before she follows me out of here.
Back then, when I first met her, my rock bottom was I was on drugs. So, and because of her, I'm not on it today. I've been clean off heroin for almost 6 years now. So, but today I don't even want nothing, so I'm good. But I think that's what she's worried about, but drugs will never be a part of my life again.
What would the process be like of trying to find another bunkie?
Because it's I'm not worried about it. I mean, if I get a bunkie, I get a bunkie. To me, it's not even my room. It's a stateroom. So as long as I get a good bunkie, that's all that matters.
As we've been listening to these people at CIW talk about what makes a good bunkie and the kind of relationships that are formed in women's prison cells, it's been reminding me of our first Ear Hustle episode and how you talked about your cellie way back then, a guy named Black.
I mean, Black's a good dude, you know. He was the ideal cellie.
I think it's more significant than he was a good dude, Earlon, so let's play a little clip from that episode.
If I was to describe Mr. Kloman over here, I would say he's a well-disciplined person and a great thinker. I know many times I always come to him and be like, hey, man, I need your help on this. And he got this little whiteboard in the cell. He'll bust out the little Sharpie marker, the little dry marker, and he'll just get to going. You know, he'll get to whatever issues I'm having problem with. And the brother's well-versed, too, especially when it comes to self-help groups and a smart brother, man. And that's what I get. And he cool, hella cool. I mean, shit, I don't know what I'm going to do when he leaves. To find a brother of your caliber, man, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
I already know that.
It seems to me, Earlon, what you and Black had was like, I don't know, you somehow found a really nice way to be bunkies. It wasn't like you were best friends, but you found a way to support each other, see the best in each other, and also let each of you live your own lives. And I think that's what you want to find in a bunkie or a celly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a specific kind of relationship. You know, I don't know if that exists outside of prison. You know, that cell is so small. You know, you pretty much go into the bathroom in front of each other. Plus, you got these lockdowns where you can't leave the cell sometime for days.
Days, weeks, and sometimes months, right?
Yeah, or even years. True that.
So do you think we'd be good cellies? Like, if I were a dude, but, you know, I was still just like me, do you think we'd be compatible?
I do think we'll be compatible, you know. I mean, I know your ways. I think you know my ways, you know. I can count on you, you know. I probably couldn't count on your cooking as much, but because you like to eat stuff that I don't.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have all those options in prison.
But everything else, you know, I mean, I appreciate your loyalty, you know. I wouldn't have to worry about you, you know, stealing shit or doing some something foul because you're a stand-up person, you know. So
yeah.
we could definitely be some cool bunkies.
The other thing is I think neither of us like to talk a lot. So that's a plus. And also, I mean, I trust you. I trust your judgment. And I feel safe with you.
Oh, that's what's up. I think that's a good start, see?
Yeah, no doubt. 100, Earlon. 100.
Ooh.
Yep.
Think we got another 100 in us?
Please. You know we do.
Just now scratching the surface, huh?
Exactly.
Ear Hustle is produced by me, Earlon Woods, Nigel Poor, Amy Standin, Bruce Wallace, and Rasan New York Thomas. Shubnam Sigmund is the managing producer.
The producing team inside San Quentin includes Steve Brooks, Darrell Sadiq Davis, Tony DeTrinidad, and Tom Nguyen. The inside managing producer is Tony Tafoya.
This episode was sound designed and engineered by me, Earlon Woods, and includes music from Antoine Williams, David Jossi, Darrell Sadiq Davis, Rashid Zinneman, Fernando Aruda, and myself.
Thanks to Acting Warden Smith and Lieutenant Barry at San Quentin and Acting Warden Hill at the California Institution for Women for their support of the show.
Thanks also to this guy here.
Well, I'm Lieutenant William Newborg. Happy to be a part of the Ear Hustle podcast group as you guys come through CIW. Proud thing to be part of your 100th episode. What an accomplishment. Congratulations and good luck. See you guys around 200 if I'm not retired by then. And I approve this 100th episode. Congratulations.
This episode was made possible by the Just Trust, working to amplify the voices, vision, and power of communities that are transforming the justice system.
For more information about this episode, check out the show notes on Ear Hustle's website, earhustlesq.com. You can also find out more about the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Ear Hustle SQ.
And if you want more Ear Hustle, subscribe to Ear Hustle Plus.
We've got bonus episodes and live chats where we get to chop it up with the listeners about the show.
We've been doing that for every episode, and it's a lot of fun. And this week, we've got something really special for subscribers.
You know how this episode, our 100, was a callback to our first episode, Cellies.
Yep. So recently, you and I sat down with our executive producer, Bruce Wallace, turned on the mics, and listened back to our first episode. Honestly, Earlon, it was the first time I'd heard it in years.
Subscribers can hear a special version of that episode with our commentary, our memories, celebration, laughs, regrets, all that shit.
Yeah, it was kind of like we were ear hustling, ear hustle.
Something like that.
If you're Ear Hustle Plus subscriber, it's in your feed now. If you're not a subscriber yet, sign up at earhustlesq.com/plus.
And while you're at it, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That's a big help to the show, and we truly appreciate it.
Ear Hustle is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a network of independent, creator-owned, listener-supported podcasts.
Discover audio with vision at radiotopia.fm.
And Earlonne, we are taking a break because this is the final episode of season 12.
After that live tour, I'm ready to take a vacay, Nige. Even though you and I know we got new episodes to work on.
Exactly. But, you know, after that live tour, which was amazing and fun, I think we all need a little break. But we will be back in March with
season 13.
Mm-hmm. I'm Nigel Poor.
I'm Earlonne Woods. Thanks for listening. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy.
Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com.
That's BetterHelp.com.
It's Earlonne.
And Nigel.
Here again, reminding you to donate to our spring fundraiser today so we can keep bringing you more Ear Hustle.
Everyone who donates will be invited to our virtual party on June 13th. If you've never been, it's a fun time where we talk about the season and answer some of your questions live. Uncensored, live.
And I will be on a hologram so y'all can see me.
3DE.
On Zoom. Every donation, any amount, will help us reach our goal. So please go to earhustlesq.com to learn more and please contribute.
Thank you.
If you can find it in your heart, in your pocket, in your wallet, in the couch.
Radiotopia. From PR.